This is the Sean Leslie Show on CKNW News Talk 980. Once again, here's Sean Leslie.
All right, welcome back to the program. Well, are you eating genetically modified food? Would you even know if you were? And most important of all, is it good for you? Jeffrey Smith is the author of Seeds of Deception, Exposing Industry and Government Lies About the Safety of the Genetically Engineered Foods You're Eating, described as one of the most authoritative books on the subject. He's also a director of the Institute for Responsible Technology, and he joins us now. Mr. Smith, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, and the title of your book pretty much, I think, gives away your feelings on this issue. But let's start by asking you, what exactly are genetically modified foods?
Well, you take genes from one species and you put it into the DNA of another so that you carry traits and genes into a species that would never naturally able to carry those genes or traits. For example, we have genetically modified corn that produces its own pesticide because a bacteria was put in there. We have genetically modified soybeans that don't die when sprayed with herbicide because another bacterial gene is put in there.
The idea being to make these foods more resistant to drugs, to bugs, improve them, essentially, sounds like a good thing. What's wrong with that?
Well, the process of inserting the genes can cause all sorts of collateral damage within the DNA, and a lot of the assumptions that were made about the way DNA functions when this technology was created turned out to be completely untrue. So you ended up with products on the market that have never been properly tested for safety effects, and when you look at the handful of studies that have been done on these products, you see animals that have been fed have all sorts of horrendous problems that aren't being followed up.
Well, but we have the Food and Drug Administration in the United States, similar agencies here in Canada that are supposed to make sure these things are good for us. Aren't they doing their job and reviewing this stuff?
Well, in 1992, the policy of the Food and Drug Administration said that because they were not aware of any information showing that these foods were different than other foods, that they had no required safety studies whatsoever, and on that basis, if the biotech industry said that the foods were safe, the FDA had no further questions. Now, it turns out in 1999, a lawsuit forced internal documents into the public domain from the FDA, and it turned out that the statements made in the policy was deception. The agency not only was aware that there was significant dissension among scientists, but even the overwhelming emphasis, the overwhelming belief of their own scientists was that the technology was dangerous and could lead to unpredicted toxins, allergens, new diseases, and in fact the scientists had urged their superiors to require long-term safety studies. So why did they ignore their scientists? Because the person in charge of policy was the former attorney to Monsanto and later their vice president, and the FDA was under direction from the White House to promote the biotechnology industry.
So it was all about money and big business.
Absolutely.
Monsanto being one of the major companies involved in GM foods?
Yes, they're one of the five ag biotech companies, and they actually brought us Agent Orange and PCBs, and they told us that those foods and products and those products were safe, and they're the ones in charge of telling us whether these foods are safe.
When a consumer goes to a grocery store, and I guess it'd be different possibly in Canada than in the United States, but what are some of the foods, the products they buy that might have been the result of genetic modification?
The five major crops are soy, corn, cotton, and canola. They're all used for vegetable oil, and soy and corn derivatives are in most packaged foods. There's also Hawaiian papaya, which is exported into Canada, as well as a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash. In addition, there's some alfalfa that's used for animal feed and Quest brand tobacco. Those are the only current genetically modified crops that are commercialized now. There's also bovine growth hormone, which is not approved in Canada, but it's used in the United States in dairies, and so if there's imports of dairy products from the United States, it might be from treated cows.
Well, these products have been on the market for a while now. Is there evidence starting to come out that they're causing adverse health effects?
There is. Soon after genetically modified soy was introduced to the United Kingdom, soy allergies skyrocketed there by 50%. We know that in the farm workers in India that have been harvesting genetically modified cotton are complaining of allergic reactions. In fact, there are some cotton ginning factories where everyone has to take an antihistamine before going to work. Shepherds in India say that when they let their sheep graze in the fields of harvested BT cotton, within 5 to 7 days, 25% of their herds died. There's about 25 farmers in the Midwest of the United States that say that genetically modified corn varieties caused sterility in their livestock, including pigs and cows, And also several farmers as well as scientists have noted that a whole variety of animals, when given the choice, will avoid eating genetically modified foods. There's also a handful of scientific studies done on animal feeding trials, and animals that have been fed genetically engineered foods have developed potentially precancerous cell growth in the digestive tract, smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system, lesions of the organs, unexplained deaths, deaths among the offspring, etc. Now, a consistent theme, of course, is that when a scientist has expressed concern or done incriminating research, they're often fired from their job, silenced with threats of a lawsuit, or lose their funding.
Yeah, I read some of the blurbs from your book online, and you talked about that. Scientists threatened, fired, evidence stolen, even scientists offered bribes. You have evidence, I take it, to back up these claims.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's two that I quote for the bribery. One is an acknowledged one where Monsanto offered 140 Indonesian officials bribes or illegal payments, and they actually paid $1.5 million to the U.S. Justice Department, and that was between 1997 and 2001. In 1998, six Health Canada scientists testified before the Senate that Monsanto had offered them a bribe of $1 to $2 million to approve the recombinant bovine growth hormone without further study. Monsanto went on national Canadian television and said that the scientists had obviously misunderstood an offer for research money.
If all this is true and all this is out there, why aren't governments doing something now to take action, to step in and make sure these things are safe?
Well, if the biotech industry isn't so good at producing crops, they're excellent at manipulating governments. In fact, Dan Glickman, the former Secretary of Agriculture under Bill Clinton, said, "What I saw generically from the probiotic side was the attitude that the technology was good and that it was almost immoral to say that it wasn't good because it was going to solve the problems of the human race." He said, "Like you felt like you're almost disloyal or an alien by trying to present an open-minded view." So there's been hundreds of millions of dollars pumped into lobbying. Many of the people in key positions in government actually came from the biotechnology industry and then vice versa. So it's very difficult to penetrate the insulation of these disinformation campaign, which is in fact why I wrote the book Seeds of Deception and why I'm coming to Vancouver to speak on Tuesday night.
But again, you know, federal regulators are supposed to be above all this stuff. Surely there are some good people out there that are willing to do their job and that are concerned about, because you're not the only person out there saying this. This controversy has raged on for a number of years. Many people have raised concerns about GM food. So, you know, it still strikes me as odd that governments aren't taking these concerns more seriously.
Many governments are taking concerns. I've been to 25 countries in six continents. I've spoken to hundreds of senior political leaders and many, many senior political leaders, cabinet ministers, etc., are taking very strong actions. And it's even in the United States, different states now are becoming aware of the issue and slowly implementing regulations. But what we have a difficulty is that the biotech industry has marginalized criticism so that we who are calling for more science are called anti-science. We who are calling for integrated stakeholder consultation are called fanatics. And so what happens is sometimes people prejudge those that are concerned with the technology, and they buy into the myth that it's necessary to feed the world, when in fact this would be a terrible technology to use to feed the world in its current primitive state. I'm not against the process of genetic engineering that possibly in the future we can manipulate DNA for the benefit of health and the environment, but it's certainly not responsible to feed the products of this infant science at this time to millions of people or release it into the environment where it can never be recalled.
Yeah, you anticipated my next question, which is, are you saying we can never genetically play with foods and with these products to make them better? You're saying we're just not there yet.
Absolutely not there yet. You know, for example, when one of the excuses that were used to promote genetically engineered crops onto the market quickly is that genes would not transfer into gut bacteria. It turns out there's only been one human feeding study ever conducted, and it verified that genes that were inserted into soybeans actually transferred into the DNA of our gut bacteria. Now consider the possibility that the genes that create pesticides that are produced in corn transfer to gut bacteria. It could theoretically turn our gut bacteria into living pesticide factories. Or the antibiotic-resistant genes put into food. Maybe that turns our gut bacteria into antibiotic-resistant super diseases. These have not been part of sophisticated safety assessments. They were not assessed because there was an assumption that there was no problem. That assumption turns out to be an unscientific way to approve food for the population.
Jeffrey, we've got a break, but you mentioned you're in Vancouver Tuesday. Where are you speaking? Do you have the details?
Well, I've got a phone number to call to register.
Okay.
It's 604-435-0512. 604-435-0512. It's in Burnaby at 7 p.m.
Jeffrey Smith, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Smith, author of Seeds of Deception.